Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Pensacola, wow. Since the first day we arrived in Pensacola and Tom Pace took us on a harbour tour to show us this amazing base, to former Mayor Ashton Hayward letting us set up at the port as snowbirds, this whole community has been so welcoming to our team. As a sporting team that's moved all around the world, we've seen plenty of communities. A lot of communities that we go to look at us as, what can we do for them in a short period of time? This community in Pensacola has never been like that. Ever since day one getting here, the community's had their arms right open to us and always extended an arm to say, how can we help you guys? This is what we believe in as an organization. We want to make sure that we are a key part of this community and doing our job to grow the community. We want to make sure that the community all feel welcome at our facility here at American Magic and that we can be a small part of the sailing community.
That's Tyler Lamond. He is the chief operating officer for American Magic, and you can hear from his accent, Australian. And it's actually kind of funny. DC made the joke that he's had so many conversations with Tyler over the years that...
In addition, after our hundreds of interactions these past 3 years, my Australian accent has improved dramatically. I won't attempt it in a formal setting like this, but it's gotten very good. So thank you for that.
We will find out next Wednesday if he can do it on the air, though. 100% we'll ask. So, yeah, this is a big deal. 150 jobs with American Magic directly, 20 jobs with the city at the port, massive investment, tens of millions of dollars. I think the total cost of the project is around $20 million total. But American Magic itself, you know, Collier Merrill made the comment that Doug DeVos, from the Amway family and, the Orlando Magic and American Magic, that they'd put, maybe $100 million into this team. I mean, It is like F1 racing. It is, the very top end of sailing. And American Magic is here not just as a sailing presence, but all of the technology, engineering, design, implementation, testing, control systems that go into making that happen. They are here in order to teach others how to do that, in order to make that available to defense and aerospace and to teach our students and, of course, to maritime. So it's all of that applied outside of just the realm of racing. And then the other thing so that's where all the jobs are. That's why this is a triumph project. It's not just to bring, the team here. It's taking the stuff the team learns and the expertise they have and then applying that in other domains and growing that. And I can easily see this company becoming, I don't want to get ahead of the facts, but you could see a company like this starting here and becoming, a corporation and entity starting here and becoming like a Northrop Grumman, in 10 years, or Lockheed in 10, like that's the kind of thing that the Raytheon, potentially. I'm not saying it will. I'm just saying that's where I see some of the possibilities here. The other thing they announced yesterday is that the Sail GP is now going to be based here for 5 years. They're going to have their training facility here year-round, and I actually got a chance to talk with Andy Thompson, who is the Sail GP managing director of these 50-foot catamarans that race at like 60 miles an hour all around the world.
So here with Sail GP, yes. For folks who have never heard of it, which is, I think, a lot of people, unfortunately, and that's about to change, Tell people what Sail GP means, why you guys are coming here, and what changes we can see at the port.
So Sail GP is an international sailing competition. We have 13 races all around the world, competing in short format weekend races, so over 2 days. We compete in New York City, in Sydney, Australia, in the UK, in France, in Switzerland, and in the UAE, and we have a final in Abu Dhabi, actually. It's very much Formula One on water in many ways, and our sailing competitions are very close to shore, where all the fans can see that all of the sailing right in front of them. So, yeah, what we've been looking for, though, because we are a circuit that goes around the world, we've been looking for a kind of a home base for all of our teams to come and train and really have really a, you know, a high performance, world class facility, and that's what the American Magic team have been able to provide for, to us. And Pensacola is such a fantastic place for high performance sailing.
Yeah.
That, yeah, all of our teams are super excited to be coming here. I was speaking to the New Zealand team this morning, the Australian team. They can't wait to get all their team out of here. It's males and females competing on our boats as well. So, yeah, co-ed teams that are going to be out here. So, yeah, they're really looking forward to mixing with the local community here.
And their catamarans are foiled. They're how long? 50 feet, 55
feet? Yeah, they're 50 feet. The wing sails are 24 meters. I'm not sure what's that in feet. That's about,
it's about 70.
75. High. Yeah. So they're hard wing sails rather than soft sails. So and that generates more power on the boat. And they're foiling catamarans, so they're flying out of the water. The boats go up to about 60, 62 miles per hour.
How long are races? They're pretty fast?
Our races are typically between 10 to 12 minutes.
Okay.
So
very quick.
And we hold four races on each race day, and then three races on the next day, culminating in a three-boat final at the end of each weekend. So, yeah, I think our championship is only five seasons old.
Okay.
So what we've been able to do is create a sports platform that's fit for modern consumption habits.
Okay.
And, you know, you're certainly seeing that, you know, sports fans want quicker, shorter content. And so, yeah, we've been able to fit our races into, you know, 12-minute windows, lots of fast action going along.
But, so this is like you're going to be turning the bay into a Grand Prix or a racetrack, and you're going to be running the fastest catamarans in the world.
Absolutely,
In these short competitive races. 18 teams, is that how many are coming here?
There's 13 teams now. Okay. We'll actually expand to 14 next year. But, yeah, we'll have all of those teams.
And they're all coming here. Those teams are all coming here at home base.
At the same time. They're kind of going to rotate in.
I see, okay.
Like two teams at a time.
Yeah, that was a question I had, the logistics of so many teams in one place.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly that.
The port's great, but it's not necessarily built for 14 pro teams, right?
Yeah, well, exactly. We're going to have two teams at a time. They're going to kind of rotate in training camp type situations for kind of 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay.
And so we can only build fast enough one boat at the moment, but ideally in the future we'll have two boats, so they'll be kind of lining up, doing races in the harbour. So
yeah,
it'd be a really cool spectacle for all the people to see from the shoreline. From the bridge will be a great spot, by the way.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
People driving down that bridge will really be able to see the boats ripping along there.
Well, welcome. It's great to have you guys coming here. You know, we knew we were getting one big event, and we wound up getting two huge events announced today. So thank you for coming. I appreciate it. And welcome to America.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
No, it's going to be fantastic. In fact, if you are watching it from Three Mile Bridge while you're driving, they'll be at 60 miles an hour. They'll be going faster than you are. Well, faster than some of you are.
The speed limits. They'll be going faster than
Right. They'll be going faster than the speed limit. You may be going faster than they are. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Anderson Subaru. Let's see here. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98, even Highway 29 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Sean. And I know the SailGP thing is probably new to everybody. It was to me. And so that's why I want to focus on that, because we were not expecting that part of the announcement. That was kind of a, oh, you know, hey, we've got this, you know, imagine, I was trying to think of a good analogy here, but imagine if, you know, it's not at this scale, okay, but, you know, Navy Federal comes and builds a whole new complex here, and then they announce, hey, by the way, we've also partnered with Bank of America to put their headquarters here, too. You know, like, it's that kind of a thing. For American Magic to be here, which we knew was coming, we knew the shape of that project. I think still people probably think of American Magic as just the boat that runs in these races that they canceled the big race. They didn't participate in the big race. Yeah, but they do all kinds of other races and all kinds of other events. And the team and the project itself is way more than just that one boat and the racing. But this is a comprehensive thing from, you know, introductory racing for young kids all the way up through the pros, the Olympics in between. But the thing with the SailGP is those are stock boats, like stock car racing. So they can, I don't think they're going to be bringing their boats here. I think that's who he's talking about, is they're going to build one and then a second one. And those are going to be like the practice boats that they learn and train and equip and improve on here. And then they take that knowledge back to their own boat that they use in these races that they run around the world. I think that's how that's going to work. Anyway, so huge announcement yesterday. Big day for Pensacola. 618 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to buy or sell a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are extraordinarily good at this. In fact, you know, I like to tell the story of how many homes that her team sells, because I think that helps you understand the level of experience and expertise that they have, not just in getting deals done, but in learning the various hiccups that can come along the way, solving the problems, doing things professionally, effectively. Like, it's not by luck that they sell 200 homes a year. And that number, by the way, you know, in the peak, it was, I think it was like 230. I have to look up the number, but I think it was in that vicinity. And then, you know, times got a little harder and, you know, prices went up and interest rates went up and people were more reluctant to sell. So they went down to 175 2 years ago. Then a year ago, 165. And then last year, they went back up to 209, which is, you know, amazing. In a year that everybody else is struggling, they're up 30%. Why? All those things I mentioned. Okay, four homes a week, week after week after week after week, they close. So if you want their input, you want to find out how they might be able to help you, 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And now, Pigs in Space!
As we move forward, we'll describe our process, which is a threefold process in Venezuela. I've described it to them now. Step one is the stabilization of the country. We don't want it descending into chaos. Part of that stabilization, and the reason why we understand and believe that we have the strongest leverage possible, is our quarantine. As you've seen today, two more ships were seized. We are in the midst right now and, in fact, about to execute on a deal to take all the oil. They have oil that is stuck in Venezuela. They can't move it because of our quarantine and because it's sanctioned. We are going to take between 30 and 50 million barrels of oil. We're going to sell it in the marketplace at market rates, not at the discounts Venezuela was getting. That money will then be handled in such a way that we will control how it is dispersed in a way that benefits the Venezuelan people, not corruption, not the regime. So we have a lot of leverage to move on the stabilization front.
Because of the embargo, because of the quarantine, because of all of the things the United States is doing, we are able to control the sale of that oil and use the proceeds from it to benefit the people of Venezuela. At least we hope that's the plan Marco Rubio outlined yesterday. Talking to the press briefly after briefing senators and before briefing the House members about what's going on in Venezuela. Step two.
The second phase will be a phase that we call recovery, and that is ensuring that American, Western, and other companies have access to the Venezuelan market in a way that's fair. Also, at the same time, begin to create the process of reconciliation nationally within Venezuela so that the opposition forces can be amnestied and released and from prisons or brought back to the country and begin to rebuild civil society.
So that's step two, is the beginning of rebuilding civil society and freeing up some of the opposition and, you know, promoting actual democracy again in Venezuela.
And then the third phase, of course, will be one of transition. Some of this will overlap. I've described this to them in great detail. We'll have more detail in the days to follow. But we feel like we're moving forward here in a very positive way.
And then the press was there asking their questions. First question was, some people have said, the Democrats have said, it looks like you're just kind of winging it.
Some senators who were in that briefing describing your operation variously is that you're winging it, that there's no plan for Venezuela going forward.
Yeah, they're going to say that. I used to be a senator, too. That's what you always say when it's the other party. The bottom line is we've gone into great detail with them about the planning. We've described it to them. In fact, it's not just winging it. It's not just saying or speculating it's going to happen. It's already happening. Like the oil arrangement that we've made with PDVSA on their sanctioned oil that they can't move. Understand, they are not generating any revenue from their oil right now. They can't move it unless we allow it to move because we have sanctions, because we're enforcing those sanctions. This is tremendous leverage. We are exercising it in a positive way. The president described it last night. Secretary Wright will have more to say on it today, who is involved in running this portfolio. And we feel very positive that not only will that generate revenue that will be used to the benefit of the Venezuelan people, and we're ensured that that's what the case is, but it also gives us an amount of leverage and influence and control over how this process moves forward.
And then they got asked a question that this was actually kind of a beautiful interaction. And you'll kind of understand why afterwards, because Pete Hegseth is standing back while Secretary of State Marco Rubio is talking. But the question was, how much did this operation in Venezuela and the ongoing operation, you know, with the enforcing the embargo and so forth, how much is that costing the American taxpayers?
How much does it cost American taxpayers? American, how much, how long should the American
cost
public?
It doesn't cost us.
The involvement, the U.S. involvement in Venezuela, how much will it cost?
Well, it doesn't going to cost us any money. For example, this oil deal that's happening doesn't cost us any money. On the contrary. And if it opens up.
No money to well, the American
these, look, I can't, I don't have the numbers. What operation are you talking about? The entire thing?
Yeah.
Well, these troops are going to be deployed. None of these troops sit in a dry dock waiting for action. They're deployed somewhere in the world. If they're not here, they're somewhere else.
Right? Like, how much does it cost to have an aircraft carrier in the Caribbean? Well, how much does it cost to have an aircraft carrier in the Med? How much does it cost to have an aircraft carrier in the Indian Ocean? How much does it... I mean, you know, like, it's not like it was sitting at home watching TV and we sent it to the Caribbean and staffed it up and flew planes off it. They fly planes off it all the time. Now, the particular action certainly cost more than the average day use will cost. You know, we used munitions that we might not normally use. We had more use of fuel than we... Okay, but the point of, you know, this very, very expensive thing, well, I mean, you know, it's expensive to operate a Navy. Guess what? There's a budget for that.
Just today, our forces not deployed to the Caribbean seized a boat, a sanctioned boat tied to the IRGC that tried to flee from us. That happened somewhere else. We are constantly involved in action. We have boats in the Mediterranean. We have ships in the Middle East. We have ships in the Indo-Pacific. These ships, if they weren't in the Caribbean, they'd be somewhere else conducting activity. Yeah. That's what the Navy does.
See, and I love that response. It's very much the Rubio response. There's going to be a Pete Hegseth response here in a second, which is going to be hilarious. We'll get to that in a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about or delays. Highway 29, 90, 98, even I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So Rubio's answer is facts, analysis. The kind of way I would answer it, okay?
I can't wait for Pete's answer.
Pete's answer was a little bit different, and I also love his answer.
Well, I want to emphasize that question from CNN.
So who asked the question? CNN. Okay, and then?
The question's never asked how much does it cost when they're in the Mediterranean or the Red Sea or the Indian Ocean or the Pacific. But now that they're in our hemisphere, on a counter-cartel mission or ensuring that an indicted individual comes to justice, now you're asking the question of cost. It's a disingenuous question to begin with. You're trying to find any angle possible to undermine the success of one of the most historic military missions the world has ever seen.
I love that approach. Is he says, oh, by the way, CNN, why are you fixated on the cost of this mission when you never ask about the cost of being deployed to the Med or the Red Sea or the Indian or the Pacific, you know, but all of a sudden you're so concerned about the cost of this one thing. I mean, which, again, the Navy is deployed all the time, doing things all the time. Some days are more expensive than others. I love that challenge back to them. And you know me, I don't typically jump much on the, you know, the bias bandwagon, but I'm naive optimist. I hope that the CNN guy goes home and he doesn't think, oh, that's just Pete Hegseth, you know. I hope he goes home and he's like, you know what? That is a biased question. That is predicated on uniquely looking for a problem here as opposed to really trying to assess the value of this operation in the context of all naval operations. So I don't know that I really hold out my breath.
I mean,
that he's going to.
He could have said that we save gas just by deploying from America down there. Look,
we're here, we're close. We're going to get oil and money anyway. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Lawmakers issuing more subpoenas related to Jeffrey Epstein. Among those approved on Wednesday by the House Oversight Committee is one for billionaire Les Wexner, former CEO of Victoria's Secret. Two subpoenas were also issued for the executors of Epstein's estate. Testimony continues today in the trial of a former Uvalde, Texas school police officer charged over his response to the 2022 mass shooting. Former officer Adrian Gonzalez is accused of failing to engage the gunman after arriving at Robb Elementary School before the shooting started. 19 kids and two teachers were killed, another 10 kids wounded in that shooting. On Wednesday, a judge denied a defense motion for a mistrial over questions concerning a witness's testimony. And the company behind ChatGPT is now launching a new initiative to address all of the medical questions that get asked by users.
OpenAI is launching ChatGPT Health to deal with the 230 million people who ask the chatbot health questions each and every week. ChatGPT Health will keep health questions separate from other chats. OpenAI says it will not use health questions to train its AI models. I'm Rory O'Neill.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Speaking of health-related matters, if you have a company, you have employees, you have to handle health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources management and tools to do that, payroll, all of the sort of red tape around having a business and having employees, and you want to be a good service to your employees, you want to be a good value to them and to yourself, call Torgerson Consulting. They handle this. They're good at this. They gave us options we did not have before, and we started using them 5 years ago. Cat Country News Radio have been using them for about 5 years. They're not miracle workers, I like to say. They cannot make plans exist that do not exist in the marketplace, which is all screwed up right now. But they will find the best available, and they will give us choices within that domain, and they have fantastic customer service, always available to answer questions. If they know, they'll tell us. If they don't know, they'll find out. My wife asks very detailed questions. They have good answers. More than 20 years helping local businesses. No obligation to have a review of what you're doing. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Chaos in Minneapolis after a woman was shot and killed by an ICE agent. That woman was seen arguing with agents while her car was blocking the street. Agents then approached the car, asking her to step out of the vehicle before she allegedly tried to take off. DHS Secretary Kristi Noem defending what happened next.
The ICE officer, fearing for his life and the other officers around him and the safety of the public, fired defensive shots.
But local leaders aren't buying that version of the story. Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey with a message to ICE.
Get the out of Minneapolis. We do not want you here.
Meanwhile, two people were killed and six others hurt in a shooting outside a Mormon church in Salt Lake City where a funeral was being held last night. Police say it was not a random incident, but the suspect or suspects are still at large. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now, 65, mostly cloudy. Our full forecast is up in just a few minutes. Governor Ron DeSantis announcing on Wednesday he's planning to call a special legislative session in April to redraw Florida's congressional districts. The governor said he wants to wait for a possible U.S. Supreme Court ruling on a key provision of the Voting Rights Act, which may affect a couple of Florida districts. Currently, Republicans hold 20 of Florida's 28 congressional seats. The move is part of a bigger Republican redistricting effort across multiple states. Democrat leaders oppose the plan, saying they believe it violates Florida's Fair Districts Amendment, approved by voters in 2010. The Port of Pensacola celebrating a huge milestone yesterday when they unveiled the American Magic's new $20.8 million high-performance center. The 56,000-square-foot facility at Warehouse 10 at the port features racing yachts, repair rooms, and training space with direct access to the bay. Lieutenant Governor Jay Collins was there. He highlighted Florida's maritime leadership and said the state builds more ships than anywhere else in the nation. The center will support training, watercraft development, manufacturing, and ocean science research. The Magic also announced a partnership with SailGP, which features 13 teams competing globally, and they'll use the facility as their home base as well for the next 5 years. The Escambia Sheriff's Office is looking for 48-year-old Quincy Jarrell Hollins on an attempted homicide charge. Authorities say Hollins approached a woman's car at the McDonald's on Michigan Avenue and Mobile Highway Wednesday morning at about 9 a.m. and fired a shot. The victim wasn't hit, but her vehicle was damaged. She drove across the street to Publix and called 911. Investigators say they recovered a shell casing at the scene. Hollins is wanted for attempted homicide with domestic violence, felony criminal mischief, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Officials say he should be considered to be dangerous. Anybody with information on his location should contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office. The University of West Florida, not looking too far to find its next president. The school is expected to potentially name interim president Manny Diaz Jr. as president as soon as today. The former state education commissioner will get a base salary of $674,000, total compensation close to $1 million. The Board of Governors would have to approve the hire before it becomes official. Diaz would be the seventh president in school history. Well, the conversion of local Winn-Dixie stores into Aldi's continues. The Winn-Dixie in Cantonment, reportedly the latest casualty. That store will close mid-March to begin the conversion. Southeastern Grocers says all associates have received advance notice and they'll have the opportunity to apply for jobs at that new Aldi or transfer to another Winn-Dixie. The timeline for the conversion hasn't been announced yet. The Winn-Dixie on East 9 Mile closed last September and reopened as an Aldi in March. Aldi plans to convert its remaining 220 Winn-Dixie and Harvey's locations into Aldi stores by 2027. Well, NB Cook Elementary School of the Arts is having an open house. That's for families interested in applying for the 26-27 school year. That will be held on Tuesday, January 20th at 8:15 in the morning and Thursday, January 22nd. That one will be at 5:30 in the evening. Families only need to attend one of those two sessions, whichever one works best for them. If you want more information on that, look at the school's website for a link to RSVP. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right, I do. Let's see here. No accidents to let you know about right now. Things are still flowing smoothly on I-10, I-110, 2990. Not seeing any delays. Even 98 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
We are under a dense fog advisory this morning. Fog should burn off as you go into the late morning with a small chance of a isolated sprinkle. Otherwise, cloudy skies, high today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 64. We're still looking at a small chance of rain for that Friday. 20% chance of rain, high near 74. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 67. Heading into Saturday, 80% chance of those showers moving through, especially as we head into the afternoon and evening, high near 72. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. Stick active, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR. From the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 65. It is mostly cloudy right now. Our next news at 7 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I know that hiring can be challenging. You sort through tons of resumes and you get too many so-so applicants. You're just waiting for someone to match your role perfectly. Well, now, there's a place where you can meet them fast. ZipRecruiter.
Need to hire right away. Start your search for strong candidates. The right fit awaits. Build your team. Build it sooner. Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
Just head to ZipRecruiter.com/free right now to try it for free. And you're on your way to meeting your match. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So try it now. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
A lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Thursdays, before we have county commission meetings, I'd like to connect with our county administrator, Wes Moreno. He is on the line now. Wes, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. As always, it is great to be here.
Great to have you with us. I had a listener ask a question about the jail view lookup, the inmate lookup for Escambia County Jail, and I have duplicated the problem myself. What he says is, if you go, it looks like a lot of the records are old records, like the first page of, you know, how it just gives you the, typically it would give you the most recent, like in the last couple of days, who's been booked into the jail, but it's getting results from like November, July, September. Is this a problem that you guys are aware of? Is it a problem? What are you doing?
I heard a little bit about it yesterday. I know over the holidays there were some issues regarding the addresses. You know, I think there was some discussion about, do we really need to post addresses? But this latest issue is something we're going to dig into. I'll dig into it today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
And kind of get some intel and see what's going on.
Okay. Since we're kind of in the vicinity of software issues, the library, for people who do not know, the software that we have had operating at the library has been, what's the word I want, a disaster, unfortunately.
Yeah,
but,
that's
you know,
right.
Across the board, a disaster. But you're on the agenda today is to terminate the old contract and to start a new contract with new software, right?
Yeah, that's right. We've been trying to work with this company on implementation, and it just hasn't worked out. And kudos to Crystal Rivera that pulled the trigger. She said, this ain't working. We got to move on. And I said, let's do it then. And so that's what we're doing. Got to have good software at the library. Things are going well at the library. We are working on a mechanism to take debit cards for payments for fees and such.
Okay.
We're looking at a pilot program probably at the Moreno Library within the next couple of weeks. So we're excited about that, but some good things happening over there.
Very good. I know we haven't talked about this a lot on the air, but just for people are like, well, how can it be a disaster? Well, for example, the notification that materials are in. I know our library, they've just taken to physically calling us because that's the only way they think they can reliably get the information. And even like a material will show up, but it's not actually there. Or like the downtown library, you couldn't even use the digital checkout, your self-checkout anymore. So that just, it's been a lot of things, but I'm glad to see that we're making a change because obviously I hope that'll improve things. One agenda item on here that you and I talked about this a couple of years ago, and it was such a great story. I want to make sure we remind people this is happening. You're purchasing some more dump trucks. Is this the project where you're getting them and using them and then selling them for a profit, basically? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We are. That's exactly what we're doing. We purchase these vehicles. We drive them for about 13 months. And then we send them to an auctioneer, and historically, we get usually about $1 million worth of profit that we are able to take that profit and put it back into the fleet. And this started when we started this program. You know, our actual fleet was about 2007 model dump trucks with about a $20,000 per year average on maintenance costs. Well, now our maintenance costs has dwindled immensely on dump trucks, and we've actually been able to help other departments such as parks out and get them enrolled. You know, and as long as the market is what the market is, that's great for us. We can continue to do that. We can continue to take advantage of it. And it's been a good thing for us. So those are some of the things that we do behind the scenes that don't necessarily get a lot of publicity, if you will. But the county staff is always working to be efficient with the dollars and watch over the taxpayer dollars.
I don't understand how it's even possible. You know, why wouldn't the company that sells you the dump trucks just go take advantage of the auction? You know, like how it's possible, but it is. I mean, it's, you know, just this is the way it works, right?
Yeah, and I'd like, you know, I'm not the originator of this program. Pat Overton back in the day when he was the public works director back in the day, you know, the market turned good for them as well, and he was able to do the same thing.
Nice.
And that's kind of where we where I got the idea, and so we started watching the market, and it turned for us a couple of years ago, and so we're doing well. If the market goes south or doesn't work out, well, we'll quit doing it.
You know, you give me a weird idea. I'm sure there's an easy answer for this. I was listening to the Santa Rosa County Commission agenda review, or they called a committee meeting, from Monday, and they were talking about bids being taken on property that they were selling off. And, you know, that's a very normal kind of process that people come in and they bid mm-hmm. for things. So my question for you is, it occurred to me, when you're selling a piece of property and not necessarily selling like a service contract or something like that, but is it just illegal for you to offer it at auction? You know, can you not? I mean, it seems like an auction would be a better way to generate a higher price.
We can do an auction for the highest bid. We can. That's absolutely an option for us.
Okay.
That can absolutely be done. Yes.
Oh, okay. Do you ever do it that way in Escambia County?
We don't sell a lot of property.
Okay.
The one piece we are still trying to sell. So, but we don't sell a lot of real estate, but it is, you know, it came up in the Midtown discussion, actually.
Oh, okay.
That is an option. We you know, we can put it out to the highest bidder. We can do that.
Okay, very interesting. Actually, you mentioned the Midtown Commerce Park. That is, and I always have to remind myself, that is the Superfund site on the east side of 29 that's been remediated, vacated, and all of that. That's what that is, right?
That is correct.
And there's going to be a committee of the whole meeting this morning to talk about the use of that. Is this at all related to the Project Britain, the $8 million, 50 jobs, $80,000 a piece? Is that related to that?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. So what is the discussion this morning going
to
be?
So Chris Flatte with Florida West has come to us, and on the very east end of the property, he's asking for the permission to be able to master plan that area and then recruit businesses to come in and bring jobs. So he has a vision there in Florida West, and he wants to come and brief the board, tell them what the vision is, get some input from the board as we move forward. The other part of this discussion this morning you're going to hear is, when you look at the proposed map, there is a proposed location for the animal shelter, a new animal shelter.
Oh, okay.
Then also a proposed location for a fire training center further to the west, on the western end of the property. So all that will probably come into some discussion this morning. And it should be a robust discussion, and we're looking forward to it.
But there's no fire station there. Doesn't a fire training center make more sense where we have an existing fire station?
Not necessarily. We can accomplish what we need to accomplish there. You know, we had looked at 99, the old 99 Boys Ranch.
Okay.
And we thought we had a good location there off Old Kim Strand. But the water pressure there with Gonzales Utilities, and nothing on them, by the way, but the water pressure just wasn't going to work out for us. It was going to cost us a lot of money to bring the water infrastructure up to grade to what we need for a training center. And so we started looking at alternatives, and this popped up as an alternative, and we think we can make it work for us.
Okay. All right. Very good. We're talking to Wes Moreno. He is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic for us.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 29 approaching 9 Mile Road going southbound, you're going to see just minor delays right there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. We got a meeting tonight. We got a regular meeting. We're at the committee, the whole meeting this morning. Just a couple of quick updates. The fishing bridge, the demolition has begun. Is that right?
It has begun. It started in December, and I went by there the other day over the weekend, and they're in demolition mode. They're taking out spans of that bridge, so it's underway.
All right. The one bridge goes away, and eventually there'll be another exact same one back in its place, and we're looking forward to that. I'm sorry, timeline for completion on that replacement bridge?
Towards the fall of 27.
Okay, so about a year and a half from now, 2 years, something like that. Okay, very good. And the Bob Sykes Toll Plaza, it's not yet been, the demolition there has not yet started, but unless I'm mistaken, we have to erect the new one before we can demolish the old one because we want to not have a time where there aren't tolls being collected, or am I wrong about that?
No, you're right. So they're actually putting the gantry together on their yard right now, the contractor is. We're working with Ingram. There's got to be some fiber optic lines run. There's a lot of collateral work that has to take place.
Okay.
before you actually take the track go out and start knocking the old toll plaza down. But they are working. It is being worked. We're looking for some expedited timelines. As you know, spring break's only, what, 2 months away?
Yeah. That's
almost like next week, really.
Right. So, in construction time.
So we're looking for that. Yeah, expedited timelines from them. You'll probably see a project kickoff coming in the next week or two. But that's going to be a good project. I'm excited about it. I think it's going to make a world of difference there as you enter Pensacola Beach.
Will pulling fiber to, or improving fiber connectivity to the new gantry system in any way spin off a benefit for beach residents? Is it a we can add fiber capacity for them in any way that's helpful as we're doing this, or is that just not, I mean...
I don't think so at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what the future would be for that.
Okay.
But for right now, we're mainly concentrating on the gantry system and the new tolling.
I just didn't know. It's a thought occurred to me, so I didn't know. One of the big developments since you and I last talked is the contract with ITL for paratransit. That's for disabled persons. Mm-hmm. Has ended. You're bringing that in-house. This was a long conversation before. You also have, you got a new director is in place, but you've got a new person that you're hiring as a coordinator, I think. And the fixed route redesign is being contracted out to Alfred Benish. So lots of stuff happening in ECAT.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts there. You know, I appreciate ITL, appreciate our relationship that we've had with them. The numbers didn't work out for either one of us, honestly. And that was those two contracts actually expired February the 6th.
Oh, okay.
But they came to us and said, listen, I think we just need to transition out. We don't think this is going to work out. And I felt the same. I said, well, I can't propose a continuation of the contract to the board because it goes up another $2 per trip. And there was no way to avoid that. So we came to a mutual agreement.
And it's already
there.
Very high. I mean, the cost for that, I mean, it's an important service, but it was very high, right?
It's $45 per trip. If we renew the contract based on the contract documents, it would go up to $47 a trip. Mm. And that was just beyond our reach. And so we did bring it in-house. We're working it. There's been a few hiccups. I'm not saying there hadn't been. But, you know, we put a new phone system in place. Hopefully by this afternoon it'll be completed and functional to help us take calls, the call volumes, and address those. And then the community transportation coordinator is not necessarily a person, but it's an entity. It's Escambia County. And we've been that for the last 5 years. We want to continue to be that. And the reason we want to continue to be that is because it makes us available, opens us up to be able to apply for more grant opportunities. If it wasn't for that issue, we would probably let it flow to the state. But we want to be the community transportation coordinator because we need those grant dollars to help operate and offset some of our costs. So the recommendation on the agenda today is to approve us to continue to be that coordinator and for the community. And then the other thing on the agenda today is basically the implementation of modifying our fixed routes, flex transit, and all those things that we've been working on collecting data and buying some software for, is to take all that data, come to us, put it together, and then let's do an implementation of it. And that's the other thing that's on the agenda today.
And that's, you know, you and I have talked many times about the configuration of ECAT. I've been so excited to see the Flex Transit working. I know that's not going to fully replace the big buses, but moving to some smaller buses, some smarter routes, and shifting a lot of the burden to the Flex Transit, you know, these all seem like good things to me. So, you know, I'm excited to see the implementation and, you know, the improvement we have over time and how that becomes more nimble and more cost effective. Big conversation.
Hey,
go ahead.
Let me give a shout out real quick. Let me give a shout out to the employees over there at ECAT. Been a lot of change coming at them real quick,
oh, yeah,
real fast, and man, they've stepped up to the plate over there, from the bus operators to the mechanics to the customer service folks. All of them, flex transit drivers. I really appreciate them. They've taken it all in stride, and they're doing a good job over there.
Have we solved the issue with the medical leave problem that we had before? Has that been solved?
It's getting better. Yeah, it's improving, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm not saying, I mean, and it's not just to ECAT. It's other departments that are affected by that issue as well. But, yeah, I would say it's getting better. I think the round of employees that we're bringing in over at ECAT and some of the ones that have been there for a while, where they're coming together. Like, again, they're taking on all this change pretty It's a rapid change, but they're taking it on pretty well, and they're doing a great job.
All right. I know we do not have enough time to do this, and I apologize for waiting till kind of the last one, but the sort of the hubbub around the drop program, the funding, the recommendation by the county clerk, comptroller, that we not go forward with the change. I even having talked to her and having listened to the conversation, I feel like I don't fully understand all of it. It's complicated around, you know, paying for retirement, how drop works, what payments you get, front end, back end, and all of that kind of stuff. Is there any slice of this that you can clarify for us in, you know, a minute?
let me try to do it real quick. So in 2014, the then HR director took a recommendation to the board that would allow the drop participants to be paid out at the beginning, at paid time off or annually, at the beginning of entering drop. And then what he took to the board was also to be paid out at the end of leaving drop. And that was up to the limit. If it's annual leave, it's 400 hours. If it's PTO, it's 500 hours. That happened in 2014. That's been our practice since then. Currently, beyond that recommendation, there was some existing, couple of existing policies that overlapped that wouldn't, for lack of verbiage, they weren't cleaned up at the time. So what we did the other day, we cleaned that up. You know, the clerk has a concern. Me personally, I don't think it's that big of a concern because we've been doing this since 2014. And we've negotiated union contracts. You're not going to negotiate this out of the union contracts. You're not going to give on this. And, you know, everybody's doing, I kid, and I say this facetiously, we have two kinds of employees. We have the employees. The guy comes in, I got 487 hours of paid time off. The next guy comes in, he goes, I got 57 seconds of paid time off. I'm putting you on notice. I'm leaving early this afternoon. it is what it is. So, you know, while everybody has the opportunity to go to the max, not everybody goes to the max. And then that's the truth. Someone don't get close to their max when they come out of drop. Someone don't get close to the max now. But I will tell you this, the employees that don't get close to the max because they're the ones that take off frequently, they're going to get paid for every hour of leave because they're not banking it. They're getting paid
right.
for it.
They're getting paid already. So the money's getting paid out one way or the other.
Absolutely. And for me personally, when my time comes, I'll leave 1,400 hours on the table if extended leave balance.
You seem like the kind of guy that'd have 57 seconds of leave.
I wish. I get paid for all of it. That way I know I'd get paid. Right?
That's right. Okay, well, that helps.
I don't know if that helps or not. And, you know, it all depends on your angle and your viewpoint. You know, could it cost us a lot of money? Well, yeah, maybe. If everybody goes to the max, not everybody goes to the max. What percentage of those employees will go to the max? I don't know. What's their salary? I don't know. You know, it just depends. But we've been doing this since 2014, and I'll say this too, prior to the 14, if you go back to 08, 09 time period when Bob McLaughlin was county administrator and the economy turned, they did huge lucrative buyouts of mainly the upper echelon folks to get them off the payroll. It's not a foreign thing. It's, you know, I know it's a benefit. Myself personally, when I hired on at 21 years old, I wasn't really thinking about retirement.
Right.
I was riding a bush hog eating dust, you know, and happy to be doing it.
All right. Well, that helps. I know it's a complicated problem, and that helps a little bit too, because, you know, that puts a little bit of perspective. Wes Marenner, he's the county administrator for Escambia County. Oh, and by the way, Allison Rogers is going to retire, but not for like a year, right? Like we got a little while.
Yeah, I'm still sad about it.
That's a big change for the county.
I'm a little aggravated with that she put a notice out now, but she had it in her mind that that's what she wanted to do and needed to do, and hey, you got to do you.
Absolutely, yeah, I understand that too.
And she's been a good ally and a good help to me, and not just me, previous administrators and the boards. When she leaves, there'll be a huge vacuum in history and knowledge and experience walking out the door.
Absolutely. No, institutional knowledge for sure is going to be a change. Wes, as always, thanks for the time. Have a great meeting this morning and this afternoon. We'll look forward to talking to you again soon, sir. Thanks for the work.
All right. Thank you.
You bet. John Pickens has got traffic for us. John?
That's right. Just one accident on the big board right now at East 9 Mile Road and Kim Strand Road, seeing just some minor delays with that one. But other than that, things are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, all right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Yeah, crisp, refreshing. That hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Loves you, baby. You're beautiful.
It's 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne has got a headline or two for us. David?
Sure do. Well, nine Republicans are voting with Democrats to set up a House vote on extending federal health care subsidies. Wednesday's procedural vote passed just by a slim majority, but it sets up another vote today on passing a three-year extension of Affordable Care Act subsidies, which expired back in December. Also, a manhunt underway in Utah. This is after two people were killed outside of a church during a funeral. Officials there saying an altercation broke out and shots were fired at a group of people.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Beethoven and Blue Jeans is at the Pensacola Singer Theater Saturday. Win two tickets. Be caller number four right now, 437-1620. You can go see the show.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9.